Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. If you haven't already guessed, it's Harvest Sunday. Thank you to all those who provided food, and those who turned up to decorate, and indeed those who will provide food for the lunch and serve the lunch a little bit later. So a big thank you to everyone involved in that. Only one little thing to say after last week, there isn't one single packet of potato, cheese and onion crisps in the whole building. But that has been removed temptation from me, so thank you for that. You obviously listened exceptionally well last week, so thank you. We hear some opening sins of Scripture today, very familiar verses, as we hear many, many times in the opening of harvest services. It's from the book of Genesis, and it says this. Noah built an altar to God. He selected clean animals and birds from every species, and he offered them as burnt offerings on the altar. God smelled the sweet fragrance and thought to himself, I'll never again curse the ground because of people. I know they have this bent towards evil from an early age, but I'll never again kill off anything living as I've just done. For as long as the earth lasts, planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never stop. What a wonderful promise that the Lord has given to us as we come to give thanks for all that he has done for us. Let us pray as we begin. Father God, thank you for all that you have done for us, what you currently are doing for us, and what you will do for us. We thank you that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So as we gather to give you praise and worship, as we gather to settle our hearts and our minds to focus on you and to hear from your word, Lord, we pray that today your spirit would transform our lives so we become more like you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I invite Paul to come and read in God's word today?
This morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 to 40, entitled Faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Paul. So we continue our series in Jabez of Courageous Faith. This little unknown character in Scripture is found in only two verses in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, as we've heard over the last number of weeks. We've heard the story of Jabez and the story of others that they needed God to step in. The same God who was their God is the God who is our God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as we've sung in the children's song, the faithfulness of God, the one who did it just for me. Moses, David, we sang about those things just a few moments ago. But we saw in the book of Jabez, in those little verses of Jabez, as we looked at other passages on top of that and created the layers around it of what it might mean, We saw that this was more than a prayer for daily bread or for a cup of water. This was life-changing in the everydayness of life. This prayer changes who we are, our attitudes, how we approach things, and how we expect God, if you like, to work in those places. We saw that God's bounty is limited not by him, but by our human understanding, by our human comprehension, by the moments that we think, oh, God can't do that. But actually, God is not bound by us. He is the creator and sustainer. We saw that we cannot come to the end of God's love, his grace, his forgiveness, his blessing. We saw that his resources are eternal, that we cannot limit them in our earthly perspectives. That the more we give, the more we receive, the more weakness that we show, the more strength that we get, the lower we become, the more raised up he makes us. And whenever we pray, enlarge my territory, O Lord, that he gives us those opportunities to share and show his love to the people around us. But God's presence is a reassuring thing. That's why last week we were thinking about let your hands be with me a couple of weeks ago. That Moses in that Exodus 33 passage had a tenacity and a determination not to go anywhere without God's presence. He wasn't going to do it alone. That's why he prayed, show me your ways, send me your presence, and show me your glory. And last week, as we thought about keep me free from harm, we saw that Jabez kind of understood that unless he was solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly looking and focused on God, he might just have a tendency to give in to temptation. And so today we come to that phrase, and God granted his request. So let's pray as we come before that one. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who answers us, the God who hears us, and the God who stretches out his hand to be amongst us. So will you stretch out your hand in this moment? Clear away any of the muddle and confusion in our heads and in our hearts. Clear away any of those unexpected things that we carry with us into this moment. So we can focus on you solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly looking towards you, that we might hear from your word and by your spirit today. Transform our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, and God granted his request. Oh, that would be the case all the time, isn't that right? That whenever we pray something, that we'd be able to say, and God granted his or her request. That whenever we've prayed something, we'd be able to rejoice and tell everybody all around us that God has granted our request. And that's probably, if we're honest with ourselves, that's probably how we expect things to happen whenever we pray. Whenever we pray, we expect that God will answer it the way that we have prayed for it. Whenever we pray, we expect God will answer our prayer the way that we've asked, in the manner that we desire, and almost in the time frame that we demand it to be done. Now, inside you at the moment as you hear that, you may be thinking or saying, no, that's not me. I'd never pray a selfish prayer like that. But if we're openly honest with ourselves, preacher included, we probably have actually prayed those prayers before. But yet we see from the pages of Scripture that is simply not the case. God does not simply always grant a request as we desire it, demand it, and in the time frame that we have set out for it. Somewhere in the history of the church, our thinking has become a little bit skewed that whenever we pray, what it is that we pray, God will simply do what we have told him to do. We've molded God in our image rather than rejoicing in the fact that we are created in his image. That's what Psalm 139 says. For you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created male and female in his image. But yet we try to mold God into our images, into our framework, into our perspective, and then we wonder, why is it not working? What's going on? Is it because we think we have control over him? Because we don't. So why should God grant Jabez's request and not my request or your request? That's a good question, James. Can't wait to hear the answer to that one. We come today on Harvest Sunday. In that moment in our series, hearing the words and God granted his request. Come on Harvest Sunday, being thankful for so much blessing, for food, for shelter, for family, for friends, for God, for church, for the world around us. That's what our Harvest Thanksgiving is about. It's about bringing back to God the ancient idea of the Harvest Thanksgiving is the tithe of the first fruits. It's bringing the best of what God, of what we have, back to God and saying, here you are, Lord, take the very best of what I have, because I know the other 90% will be more than enough for me. You have the best, and you do with the best what you can multiply and magnify. But yet we hold back. But I can't give that much away. Because what would I do? But remember, the more we give away, the scriptures teach us, the more that we actually receive from God. The biblical command to tithe, to give our first fruits back to God. Because God is not a selfish God saying, I want the very best. What he's saying is, I want to see that your heart is solely upwardly looking, pointed towards me, so that I know that whenever you give me the best in your heart and in your head, you stand on the foundational promise that I will be there and you will have more than enough. You still will be blessed abundantly. And I will take that little and I will use it and magnify it, the Lord says. So the reading today from Hebrews chapter 11. People sawn in two. People chained, flogged, put in prison. How are you going to fit that into a Harvest Thanksgiving service? Some might say. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it's often called the Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. If you read the whole chapter, it's a list of people who trusted God in their circumstances and with their circumstances. And it's key to say, in their circumstances and with their circumstances. Those two go together. It's a list of people who did great things for God. It's the people we run to in the scriptures and say, look at all these people. Look at Moses and David and Gideon and Samson. And look, aren't they amazing? But if you actually go back and read the stories of those people in the pages of the scriptures in the Bible, you will find that they are simply ordinary people just like you and me. They are people, whenever God approached them, they went, God, I'm not really sure I can do that. What did Moses say? I'm a bumbling fool, God. I can't speak in front of people, and you want me to go and lead your people out of Israel? Out of Egypt into Israel. What did Gideon say? I'm the least in the tribe in the whole of Manasseh. I'm the least in the whole of the nation of Israel. And you want me to do what? These are ordinary people who have the same struggles as you and I, who find themselves, in one sense, with very similar excuses as to why God could not and should not use them. You'll read those stories, you'll see that they feel weak and inadequate, just like you and me. If you read those stories, you will see that they are ordinary people just like you and me. If you read those stories, you will see that the turning point was whenever they trusted God, whenever they had a moment of faith, just like you and me. Hebrews 11, verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and rooted out foreign armies. And whenever we hear those things, we think these are all absolutely amazing people, but we need to remember they were ordinary people just like you and me. They struggled. They came up with excuses as to why God could not use them. And it wasn't easy for them. It wasn't that they suddenly trusted God, that they stepped out in faith and everything became absolutely wonderful and a bed of roses for them. Verse 36, some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These mighty people of God had really bad things happen to them, just like you and me. Their story was not filled with the highlight reels of social media, Instagram or Facebook or X or whatever one you particularly use, where we show the world our highlights are glamorous and wonderful and perfect. Where we look at those things and we scroll through them and we begin to imagine that our lives are absolutely rubbish because everybody else's life in the whole of the world is absolutely beautiful. It was real. It was gritty. And it was messed up. Just like you and me. But they had God. Just like you and me. This character of Jabez. We're coming to the end of his prayer at the moment. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, it says. Something stood out about him. Something was a wee bit different about him. Everybody else around him didn't seem just like him. They seemed to be doing all the other things that everybody else was doing, but yet Jabez was more honorable. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." There was something about Jabez's birth that meant that he stood out from his brothers and his sisters. There was something about Jabez's life and his birth that meant for the rest of his life, as we started 5 weeks ago by saying, for the rest of his life, his mother used to shout, "Pain, your dinner's ready." That's literally what his name means, pain. Pain, your dinner's ready. Pain, would you stop that? Pain, come here till I give you a hug. Can you imagine those words being spoken over you constantly and permanently? And for some of us, the negativity of words spoken over us in the past, we can feel that. We can understand that. So Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "O Lord, that you would bless me." As we saw, whenever he prayed, "Bless me," it wasn't the selfishness of, "Oh, it's all about me, God. Bless me. Give me everything." It was about, "God, I know that your purposes and your will is better than mine. So would you bless me with what you have for me? Well, Lord, you have blessed me and enlarged my territory." We saw that wasn't that he wanted more possessions or more land, but his purpose was to take the promises that God had given him, to take the land in Israel that God had given to his tribe. He was to receive the opportunities that the Lord had placed before him, and he was to step out and take them. And so he prayed, "Enlarge my territory. Show me those opportunities, Lord. Let me have them. Let me take them. Lord, you bless me and enlarge my territory and let your hand be with me." He knew that he couldn't do it on his own. He knew that he needed God's presence. He knew that God's presence would distinguish him from everybody else and make him more honorable than his brothers, potentially. And then he prayed, keep me from harm. Oh Lord, that you bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. Because Jabez knew that if he was going to receive the Lord's purposes for his life, that he was going to have these opportunities unfold in front of him, that if he was going to have the Lord's presence with him, that he could then be attacked by the devil so much more because he was on the move for God. And so he needed temptation to be removed from. He needed to be kept away from harm. And so God granted his request. Why? Well, it was because he was solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly looking, focused in God. It was because he was declaring, it's for your glory, not for mine, Lord. It's in your strength, not in mine, Lord. Maybe he was saying, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And in that moment, Jabez's life is not about Jabez anymore. Jabez's life is all about the Lord, the creator and sustainer of the universe. And our passage from Hebrews 11 today, having went through all of those hall of faith, all those great people, but yet ordinary people, finish with these verses. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. A bit different from Jabez, isn't it? Because God granted his request. But none of these people received what had been promised. Because God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. That the eternal promise that this is not all that there is, that there is better yet to come, is actually what these people were promised. They weren't promised that transitional, that temporal moment, the instant gratification here and now. They were promised that by their faith they would be in the hall of faith. By their faith they would be in the heavenly realms. By their faith they would be in the presence of God. They were promised that with all the saints, you and me, those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, are described in the scriptures as a saint because we've been sanctified, redeemed, renewed, refreshed. That there is better yet to come. And if there's one promise in the pages of scripture that is more glorious than the fact that Jesus Christ gives you life and life in all of its fullness because you trust him, it's that this is not all that there is. There is still better to come. Because I would imagine there are very few of us that would just simply settle for what we currently have. And the promise that God gives to us, as we count on this Harvest Sunday, God has planned something better for us, so that together with us, they have been made perfect. Made perfect. A place where there is no more pain, no injustice, no more suffering. A place of perfection. Where you and I who know and trust and love the Lord Jesus Christ will also be made perfect. That all of my little foibles and idiosyncrasies and annoyances that everybody else can see in me and that I have for myself will disappear. And so will yours. Because we will be made perfect. Because the best is yet to come. So maybe God doesn't always grant our request in the moment, because he knows the best is yet to come. And if I've found anything in my whatever it is years of being a Christian, is that God's ways are far better than my ways. And whenever I trust his ways, I end up in a far better place than I could even dare to have imagined. That's why over the last number of weeks we've been praying, oh Lord, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from harm and free from pain. And Lord, that you might step in and grant that request. Let me see that there is still better to come than what is here now. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you are present. Thank you that you're a God of abundance and a God of blessing and a God who knows what is yet to come. Even what we can't see and we can't understand and we don't know, you know it. So Lord, may today be a day where we trust you, we place our faith in you, and where we step forward into the opportunities that you've given us, knowing that the best is yet to come. May you grant our request. Amen. As we cast our eyes to the screens, we know that we began this worship event with thanksgiving. So I call upon each one of us now to move out into the world with thanksgiving. As we say together, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let thanksgiving enhance the joys you experience. Let thanksgiving transcend the pains you may suffer. Let thanksgiving sweeten the duties you must perform. Let thanksgiving underpin even the griefs that you have to endure. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So may the love of the Father, the saving grace of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit be upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.